All right, Chichos, I need you to listen carefully to this list and see if any of these describe you. You have been in therapy for years, or you have been in 12-step recovery for years, but all of your healing has been in your head and not in your body. You live in a constant state of hypervigilance. You are constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. You have 3 good days in a row, you're bracing for impact, or perhaps you just can't enjoy any of the good things in your life. Feeling good feels so unsafe. Or perhaps you are totally disconnected from your body. You are numb. You're checked out when somebody asks you how you're feeling. You don't know how to answer. You are stuck in self-sabotage, procrastination, self-doubt, and no matter what you do, you stay stuck in it. You cannot be alone with yourself, so you scroll, you eat, you stay busy, you do anything not to feel. Your inner critic is absolutely relentless, and after a lifetime of hearing it, you can't even identify it as being your inner critic. It just feels like who you are. You are currently doing IFS therapy or parts work, and self is more of a concept that you understand rather than something that you actually can feel. Or perhaps you've been doing this healing work all by yourself, and somewhere in you, you know that healing and community is the piece that's been missing. So if you heard yourself in any of that, and who are we kidding, folks? I know that at least one of those things described you, okay? I have a message for you. I built a course. This is the first one that I built entirely myself, and it is everything that has actually worked for me. All of the stuff that moved the needle after doing years and years and years of therapy and realizing, holy shit, I'm not as healed as I thought I was. This is nervous system work. This is somatic parts work. This is actually learning how to be in your body instead of just knowing that you should be. I put it all together in 1 7-week live journey, and I am not teaching this from the top of the mountain as somebody who is perfectly healed. I am in the middle of this work just like you, and I built this thing because I needed it and nobody had put it together in this specific way for people like us. It is called Safe Within, a somatic healing journey to finding self-energy, and it starts July 1st. Early bird pricing runs through June 10th, so you, the person who is currently coming up with all the reasons why you shouldn't sign up, or you, the person who feels that little pit in their stomach right now telling them to sign up, or you, who doesn't feel anything in their body right now because they're so checked out, but whose head is telling them, I think I need to do this. Let's do the damn thing already. Go to adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin, adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin. You can find all the details. Do it now. All right, Sam, I was going back through your interview, and I'll tell you what you were focused on at the time, okay? So you were getting comfortable with your emotions. You were learning how to be yourself around other people. Mm-hmm. You were just trying to experience day-to-day life. You said, I don't think I have the appetite for any big lofty goals or visions right now.
Yep.
Legos, yard work, yep. Cleaning your house, maybe trying a roller coaster. Did you go to roller coaster?
Yeah, that didn't happen. No, okay. I checked it out.
Letting your family be where they are, learning how to trust yourself over other people's advice. So the vibe was, I just hit my bottom. I'm done chasing achievement. I'm learning to slow down and feel things and actually be myself with people. And I want small good days.
I think I'm still that person, but very much just like if I was like a child teenager version of that, I feel like I'm fully an adult working on that stuff now. It's like, it's the same shit. It's going to be the same lessons for my entire life. I'm always going to struggle with some of the same stuff, but it's about showing up and doing that every day.
Same shitty, different ditty.
Yeah.
Have you so it's almost been 2 years. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you've realized about your childhood since we last spoke, or a new perspective?
I think I realized that it's really easy when you're doing the work to see all the things that were bad and like that went wrong, because you take that first look through the lens of like, oh, I'm an adult child, like this stuff that's happening to me makes sense. And you kind of have to unpack all of that. And it's not to say that like there wasn't a ton of terrible shit, because there was. But I realized I was more loved than I think I could have processed at the time. Especially when it comes to like my grandmother, who I don't know if I mentioned on the last one, but she was diagnosed with dementia like shortly after COVID started. battled it for 2.5 years and then passed this last October. But she had just moved into the memory care facility, I think, when we talked last. And that was a real, the process of saying goodbye to her and seeing just how much, like thinking back on the memories and like all of that, how much she cared about me and how often she stepped in and the stories that I heard, kind of threw a different perspective on things, because she was not the, she's not the really the lovey-dovey type, but she was very protective. And I think when you pick up on, you make the connection of like, oh, someone was loving me in this way, and that really resonated with me, then I have to go back and look and see maybe what else was going on that that had that same effect. And like, even experiences in my own life with my family, not so much recently, but like a couple of years ago, the way that maybe my brother and his children interacted, like gave me perspective on like how my aunts and uncles probably felt around seeing what was going on in my house and like, you know, what's appropriate versus what's not. And like, it really, it, I think if I took a step back and had an objective look at things, and having a lot of the emotions be tamped down a good bit, like not getting so much of the reactions by like going back and like having done the work to let out so much of the anger and the resentment, things are just a little more clear. You can see them how they are. And you can either choose, I think, to continue, at least for me, I felt like I either can choose to continue to kind of dig into those things and like keep looking for reasons to be sad and upset and like grieve the things that happened, or I could start looking for things that made me happy and like things that brought joy and like what can I recreate in my life now that will make me feel more whole. Because those things, the bad things are part of who I am, but also the good things were just as much a part of that and they got overshadowed, but you can restrike that balance. And I think that's a lot of what I've been trying to do the last couple of years, is like getting back to who I am. I think a big thing that I've learned is, as much as you have to make time to do the healing work that we do, like in group where we like share the hard stuff, you have to make time for the good stuff. Like, it's been one of my biggest struggles has been figuring out what makes me happy and like what brings me joy. And you have to carve time out for that. You can't just wait for that stuff to come. And it is just as important, I think, of a practice as like the grieving work and the other work that we do around the emotions that are seen as more negative, in quotes. I don't think emotions are negative, but that's, I think that's where I've been, trying to find that balance.
There can be almost more resistance sometimes in doing the stuff that makes us feel good.
It's scary. And I think it's easy to have blocks on that. Mm-hmm. Like, if you went through experiences where the things that you, and I think a lot of people have this problem now, if you feel ashamed of the things that you like because someone made you feel that way, it's very hard to keep going into those things. And I think, not to like bring it to the larger conversation, but a lot of my social circles before were built around complaining about stuff and talking about the things we hate. And I see that, I hate the internet at this point, because that's all it is. It's like dogpiling, and it's easy to be that person, but it's also really hard to be the kind of person that says, hey, I like this thing. And, you know, people are free to throw their darts or whatever at you. And, you know, it's vulnerable. And I think that part of the healing journey of like, this is what makes me happy, this is what brings me joy, and like leaning into that unapologetically is just as vulnerable is me ugly crying on Zoom with about my cat. Like, it's it's the same different side of the coin.
So what are some of those things that you've made time and space to do? What is bringing you joy now?
I have picked up a very strong reading habit in the last year or so. My grandmother was a big reader, and I've always wanted to be a reader. There were moments like in middle school, high school, where I'd find a book that I really like and I would just sit and devour it in like two sittings. And that was like the best thing in the world. But then you go into like high school English and you get assigned these books, and I read three pages, and raging undiagnosed ADHD, reading that shit, I'm going to go find the Spark Notes. I'm going to use my test taking strategies, which never failed me, to get through it and just like not touch it. So I had like a weird relationship with reading. I thought about the way my grandmother read. She would go and get like 4 books from the library, have them all spread out, and just like pick up whichever one she wanted to read and had it going. And while the TV's going and she's like doing other stuff. And so I read anywhere between like 3 to 6 books at a time.
Really?
Yeah, just as a habit of like, it takes away the choice of like, am I going to read or am I going to not? And more of like, what am I going to read today? And it's made it, I read 30 books last year, which was the most I've read ever. I've already read 23 this year. I just finished one, the Dungeon Crawler Carl series. I'm sorry, is my favorite thing that has ever happened.
What is it?
Dungeon Crawler Carl.
What is it?
It's the apocalypse on Earth, but a guy and his cat survive it because they're outside. Basically, aliens come in, they take over the world, they incite what's called the collapse, where all buildings go down. Anybody that was in a building is gone. And people that are outside, they can either choose to stay on the surface or go down into the dungeon, which is like an 18 level video game where they like fill up and stuff. And it is like a long march to doom. But it's hilarious.
That sounds right up my alley, but it's serious. It's serious and funny.
No, I think it starts off being more funny. Okay. There's like meth llamas and he just makes jokes and commentary on like greater culture. There's MLM jokes, which I loved. Mm-hmm. Just it's crass, it's silly, it's stupid, but then it builds on itself with characters that are like, has the whole like found family thing, and like there are stakes and people die, and it gets very real. So it's,
is it a newer series?
He self-published back in like, I want to say the 20 teens. And then it got picked up by Ace Publishing, which I want to say is part of like Penguin or Random House or something. Released the first book. It's gotten really big on audiobook. That's like the big, because the narrator is so good.
Dungeon Carl? Is that what you said?
Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Dungeon Crawler Carl. Okay. It sounds like something I'd be interested in.
I give the first book a shot. I gave my brother the first book for Christmas, and it took him a little bit to get into it, but he's now trying to binge to catch up because it's...
How many books are there in total?
There are 8 right now, and there's going to be 2 more.
Anything else other than reading?
I'm involved in a chorus that we sing all the time. I got to do a really big concert last summer, which was... just like a life goal. It was, it's a gay men's chorus. We did a Disney show. I'm going to be identified based on this, with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, which was like a big deal. We're almost at a level of like pseudo professionalism. I feel like it's, we're good. And it's been really, I was in marching band growing up, or band and like music all through my life. Took like a 10-year break. And this has been the first thing I've done, since then. And it's been very fulfilling. Kind of do a lot of stuff. I'm actually going to Brussels next month.
So on the choir, mm-hmm. And I think that this speaks to kind of like a larger question, but how do you notice the way that you show up differently and like more comfort in your own skin, especially like in the choir? Because I know that there were times where things were a challenge for you.
Yeah, it still is a challenge, I think. I joined right about the time that I blew up my life. And so I was very unsure going in. And I've always struggled in large groups. It's very overwhelming to be in that kind of mm-hmm. setting. And so, yeah, it's taken some time. I think I'm comfortable in the group now. I still have not built like close friendships within the group. I have people that I see every week. I'm happy to see them. I look forward to like talking to people. But it has not translated to outside life yet. And I do think that is in part a level of comfortability I still don't have yet around friendship and relationships. I'm afraid that I have good friendships in my life that are well balanced. But I don't necessarily know that I trust like diving in right now or yet. I'm getting there. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what that looks like for me in a healthy way, because the stuff that was going on when I joined was a full collapse of a group of friends that I had and like the patterns that I had partaken in for years. And so it's a sensitive thing. And so I kind of threw myself in the fire and I'm still walking through the fire and still figuring it out, but I am more comfortable in the room. It's a work in progress, you know?
It's kind of hard when it's that many people too.
Yeah. You find pockets of people that you can relate to and you can like chat with. I made like one good friend in the group and he ended up leaving, which was, it happens. But you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's, I think that when the right person or people come into the group and we have the opportunity to interact in a way that like allows where I'm at to interact with like good, healthy other people in a good spot, then that'll be when it happens. But I think that's another thing too, is not to like shit on my community, but like LGBTQ people are some of the most traumatized people. And it doesn't mean that they are bad or mentally unhealthy in any way or any of that, but it can be a minefield. Like you never know what you're getting yourself into. And so I think a part of that is understanding what it means to be like a queer person in America and knowing that a lot of that is what perpetuated the dynamics of mm-hmm. the relationship better than before. And so mm-hmm. it's a scary thing. And so I'm very, I'm cautious. A lot of the friends I have made there are a good bit older than I am. So
what about your job when you transitioned into the new company, new role, specifically with showing up as yourself and dealing with other people?
Yeah. I think it has also been a journey. I've never been the one to just jump in and, well, that's a lie. It depends on the situation. Sometimes I am the person that like jumps in and knows what to do. But coming into where I'm at, I changed jobs last year in February, and it was a significant step up in terms of like expectations and mm-hmm. All the benefits that came with that. And I think I went into it with more belief in myself, and that has continued to grow. Mm-hmm. And it's been about finding my footing and understanding who I am, how I come off, and what it is that I have to do to like be successful. And the good thing is the place I'm in now, the work culture is a lot more positive. People are very supportive. I think I was a little too traumatized because for like the first 6 months, any conversation I had with leadership, I was like, essentially, when is the other shoe drop? Like everybody is helpful and supportive. Like, where's the catch? And I think after about 6 months and getting onto a project that desperately needed the skill set that I had in terms of like conflict management and things mm-hmm. has really helped me to settle in. I'm a lot less worried about being good enough and being able to show up. And I kind of just do my thing. The line of work I'm in, there's a lot of people I think that are similar to me and that they're not exactly the most open or inviting at first. And seeing that in other people, it's like, oh, I'm good to just like do my thing. And that helps me to open up. So
where did things stand with the relationship with your mom and your siblings?
It's actually in a very good spot right now. I don't know if I talked about this last time, but I had a conversation with my mom a while back around just our dynamic. And we took some time away from each other and then we came back, and it's been really good. I've spent a lot of time with her the last year or so. Just her mom dying was tough. And like, she took care of her for the time that she was dealing with her dementia and like living at home. And my mom was like on the same piece of property with her brother who also lives there. They were taking care of her until she went into her memory care facility. And I think my mom kind of lost her sense of purpose a little bit because she wasn't working. And so I've spent a lot of time with her, just like supporting her through that. And, you know, being able to show up more myself, our relationship has gotten stronger. I've spent a lot more time with my sister lately. My sister went through some stuff as well. And she kind of came around, I think, to being more herself She has a fiance who is wonderful, and we spend a lot of time with them. We have lots of game nights. It's been a lot of growth. And even with my brother, I would say the last like 6 months or so, since around like Thanksgiving, Christmas, we've been on better footing. And it's, I think I'm less agitated by everything else in my life, which has allowed me to like see them for who they are, let go of some of the like baggage that I had associated with it, and, you know, have appropriate boundaries so that if something goes wrong, I'm comfortable speaking up at this point. So it's, things don't go very far. But yeah, it's actually, I would say I've spent more time with my family in the last couple of years than I have with anybody else in my life, which has been rare. Because I was very much black sheep and out in my own pasture. So,
well, that's what I was going to ask you, how the roles that you used to play, how that's changed and how that's impacted the dynamic.
Yeah, I think it's been tough because I think I get put in this position of like de facto, like parent figure, because I've been successful. I've been able to like go and make a life for myself. And I think that they respect that and they admire that. But at the same time, they also have kind of that like fond response to want to make sure that I'm like not upsetting them in any way. And it's been a back and forth. There have been moments where we've had dust ups where people have overstepped and I've been like, absolutely not. Like, no, we're not going to do it this way. And then they'll have a reaction to it. And my immediate like jump is to like go and comfort them, but I've stopped doing that. And so after it has time to dissipate, we can go back to, you know, being the way that we are. And it's been a learning experience, I think, to consistently speak up. But yeah, it has not been, I think if they're having their stuff, they don't bring it to me. But the parts of us that we are good with and I think that are healthy, we're able to show up together, and that's nice.
So still no contact with your dad?
No. Yeah, that's...
Same thing with your parents? I mean, your siblings?
Interestingly enough, they're both no contact with him. My sister's fiance, she sees him around. They work in the same city. And so she like checks in to see if he's at work and stuff. And so like, we'll get minor updates about like, oh, is he still alive? Okay. And that's about it. And apparently he's ranting on Facebook some, but yeah, no contact, no plan to have contact. I think that I'm 36 and I stopped living at home when I was 18. And for the years that he was in my life, he was a terror. And then I spent a couple of years trying to mend that relationship to no avail. Mm-hmm. And so I'm at the point where that was half my life ago. There's not really anything there. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, I don't see any need.
Did you want to speak on grief?
Oh, absolutely. So shortly after my last episode, almost 2 years ago, I had what I think is a final falling out with a friend that I was really close with. It's a friendship that was hard fought for a while. And I just kind of had to come to the understanding that like, I can't shrink myself in relationships anymore. It just doesn't work. It was causing me physical pain, like shoulders locking up, body aches, just like the stuff that we talked about in the codependency book club, all that was manifesting. And I was like, I cannot do this. Like, I'm not putting forth the effort. I'm stepping.
So like, what specifically is it, not speaking up?
I think that's the thing, is I started speaking up and things weren't changing. Mm-hmm. And my own rule of thumb for myself is like, I have to do what I can, what's in my control. And in any relationship, you obviously want to keep the relationship going. And so my job was to speak up and make my needs known. And if they could be met, great. If not, I can ask a couple more times. But at some point, you kind of have to understand that like the other person is not motivated to meet you there. So like, what are you getting out of it? And that's not to say that relationships are all about what you get out of it, but at some point, if it's taking more than it's giving, then like it is what it is. And if it, my big complaint was I felt like I wasn't being heard or being listened to, it's another person who could replace me with anybody else in the world and essentially get the same effect. It's like, okay, well, I could be doing something better with my time. And so that's kind of just had to come to that realization, and it hurt. And there are times when it still does, but it has softened and I'm not as like upset about it. I don't think about it as often, and you know, you move on. Grief is, going back to grief, emotions demand to be felt. And I think the biggest lesson I've learned through my entire journey is just like, there's no controlling that part of it. And there's also no need to put any judgment on any of that. And the less I'm attached to the need to be over something or letting go of something, the faster I'm going to get there. And so however long it was going to take, I was just going to let myself ride it out. And I have. And that was like a choice being made. But at the same time, other grief that has come up, obviously my cat passed. I had to put her down.
Yeah, that went so fast.
Yes. So Thanksgiving Day, she was not eating. Took her to the emergency vet over the weekend. And I was on a Zoom call with everyone on a Monday crying about how she had cancer. And Wednesday, she was gone.
That was like 2 months after Kiki died.
Yeah. We both went through the cat grief together. I think Laura.
And yours was a tuxedo too. Yeah.
And so I spent a lot of time in this community. And that really, I think that was a real important moment for me to, well, first I was a mess because you don't just like lose a pet in a week and like come away from it easily. And I let myself be a mess, I think, for the first time in my life, both here in this group, with my family. I was just unashamedly like, I need somebody to come up here to Atlanta and like go to the vet with me and be there when I put her down. And my mom did it. My sister came up after. We got pizza. Did the thing. And I think being witnessed in that way made me appreciate the people in my life that show up for me when it's not fun. And the same thing happened a couple of years ago when my friend's husband was killed in his car accident. I called three friends and they were here and they just spent time with me and we ordered snacks and we sat around and like talked about life and I cried and it, you know, it meant a lot to me. And I think that a real barometer for me is, you know, who do I want to pick up the phone and call when it comes time for like my mom to go? Hopefully not anytime soon, but like, if I can't have that kind of relationship with someone and they're taking up a lot of space in my life, I can't afford that. That's too expensive. And so I've been really paying attention to the dynamics in my life, how people make me feel, how I feel around them. That's the same thing, but like how I feel towards them in terms of like, is there trust there? And I think that's a real kind of barometer for how I'm going to engage with people forever going forward is like, okay, just you as a person, if I had a big loss coming up, like how do I feel about navigating that? Would I want to hide away and like pretend nothing's wrong? Would I want to like have you in the room? It really just, it allowed, I think so much grief the last couple of years has just allowed me to see what actually matters, not only in life, but like in relationships. Like what is a relationship for?
Been.
A whole lot better than it has ever been. I leaned hard into intuitive eating for a bit. And that was, I don't want to say it was like a magic bullet, but like it did a lot of work. When I started my new job, a couple months in, I was on a project that really stressed me out. And I started I want to say like 6 or 8 month window when I was eating Chick-fil-A pretty much every meal of the day. And I just did it. And now I have it maybe once a week. I'm good. The hardest part of food for me right now is wanting to eat anything. And that is such a interesting thing because I've lived my entire life to eat. And I don't know, food's just not, that's not all that. I mean, I've come around to a point too as well where I've had so many like digestive issues the last couple of years. And like, if you want to learn a lesson, like be miserable. I think that the normal thing that happens with people when they're not using food to cope, when they eat too much of something that's not good for them, or like is supposed to make you feel like shit, is they feel like shit and they say, huh, maybe I shouldn't do that again. Mm-hmm. And those lessons are finally like coming through. I think I did like reverse psychology on myself where I was like, oh, I'm not in the mood for it, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to go hard into it and you're going to not feel bad about it. And it's almost like a kid doing something, or they'll beg to do something, and then their parents just like let them to the extreme where they're like, no, can we just go back to like being normal? And it worked. So yeah, I have not had a moment in my recent memory where in an emotional kind of dust up that I've turned to food. I have tools now that allow me to like process stuff if it needs to go that way. And it's becoming a little more automatic to like do other things that are not go straight to food.
Is there anything present for you as of late, whether it's a thought or behavior or a wound or a coping mechanism? Is there anything present for you as of late?
It's a really good question. I probably should have thought about that before I...
Well, if there's not an easy answer, then maybe that's good.
Yeah, I'm the kind of person, I think, that when I go after something, I go after it hard until I've like drained every little bit of it that I can. And for a good, I think, well, one, the first stretch of my life from like, well, not the stretch of my life, but like 20 to 30, all I did was self-help. Like I was interested in like fixing myself. And then I turned the corner around like 30, 31 to where I was like, oh, like this is what actually healing looked like,
yeah,
like doing work. And I went hard on it for 3-4 years, a lot of it in this group. And it got to a point where I could not flip over any other rocks for easy wins. And I had to start looking for other stuff. So I think, like I mentioned, like I'm having to make the effort now to like do things that make me happy. Mm-hmm. It's really easy, I think, to settle into a space of like, I can keep looking for things to fix about myself, or I can just go beat myself. So that's what we're trying to do. It's a hard thing when the work has been to shed all the layers that aren't you, to then like figure out what actually is, because you're like laid bare and it's like, okay, well, what do I want to put back on?
How is the relationship with the inner critic? Has that shifted a lot?
I don't even know what my critic sounds like right now. I have gotten a lot kinder with myself. It's been part of the problem because I can't motivate myself, because that was how I used to motivate myself, was being really mean to myself.
Does it work anymore? Yeah.
No, it just, that entire part of me just shut down. So now I'm having to like figure out ways to accomplish things. And part of that is just like, what is the minimum viable version of this that I can do today that like moves me forward, and doing that every single day. So maybe that's the big banner item that I'm working on, is consistency.
Mm. I think I mentioned
it's like the slow march to death of like doing something every single day. It seems so miserable. How do people do it when they're normal? That's another thing. Normalcy. I actually went to dinner with a friend a couple nights ago that I hadn't seen probably over a year. I ran into her at Target the other day and I was like, oh no, I don't know how this is going to go. She was actually part of that group that mm-hmm. was kind of like rough, but I had like a good relationship with her. And we went to dinner the other night. We were there for about an hour. I left and I was like, she said, oh, let's like do this once a month or something. Like, let's see each other more often. I was like, okay, cool. And I got in the car. And I was like, was I boring? Like, was that boring or was that just healthy? Like, it was a relationship that I think was built on unstable ground for a while. And maybe going and sitting at a table with someone and just talking about work and like the surface level stuff for a while is what building a healthy relationship looks like. We took some steps back. We're going to have to do some work to like get back to a place where we're going to be close again. But even if it's just someone that I see once a month and like have dinner with and catch up, it's maybe that's what healthy looks like for me. Maybe it's boring. So I think that's another thing. Life is really, it's uncomfortable at times when you're like, God, I feel so flat. It's like my breast. No, I'm just not activated.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like a, yeah, a calm nervous system. It's like, feels so unsettling, boring at first.
I still have my moments, but yeah, I'm a pretty boring person most of the time, which up until this point in life, it has not been that way. So it's kind of been nice to lean into it. But I do, I've really, the last couple of months have felt like I'm getting back to not my old self, but like a feeling of normalcy. I feel pretty normal, which is almost gives me an ick, but it's good stuff.
You want to have another hope or dream that we could follow up on next time? Is it
more? I'm dipping my toes back into the dating pool. I've not like gotten any catches yet, but I do think that is something that I would like to see come to fruition. I think that's like the flower of health is having a healthy relationship. And I'm having to monitor myself on the apps because it's like, am I not attracted to this person because I'm not attracted to them? Or does it feel too like I'm a boring person? I should be able to like look at other boring people and be like, you know what? Life would be good. And so I'm exploring that space to see what it's like. We'll meet some people and determine if it's for me. And I think that I would hope that like someone stumbles upon me at some point and we'll hit it off and it'll be good. But yeah, something to do.
What I've been dealing.
Thank you, Sam. You're doing beautiful work. I love watching you grow. Thanks for sticking around.
Thank you. I'm going to keep coming back